Krishna, Krishna Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama Hari Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha, Jaya Giri Varadhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha, Jaya Giri Varadhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha, Jaya Giri Varadhari. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. 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 Yamuna Thira Vanachari. Yamuna Thira Vanachari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Okay, not a problem, Mataji. We'll sing Hare
Can
Krishna.
you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you. Hari Bol.
Haribol,
Yes.
Thank you.
I guess it's difficult to identify your image, but we can hear, yeah.
Okay, so we can now.
Haribol.
Can have a kirtan. Dishan is there?
Yeah, she's just completed her usual prayers. It's intermittent, Prabhuji. Is the loose connection or something going on?
No, no, Prabhuji. I think some maybe some static.
Okay, but now it's a bit clear. Yeah, she has just completed the kirtan. Now, in case everything is established, if you wish to start the prayer.
Okay, I'm sorry. Please accept my apology because we had some technical difficulties. I'm sorry, so much disturbance is here now. Hare Krishna, now is it better now? I'm going to reduce the volume now.
Yeah, it's getting better.
Okay. Haribol, it's better now?
Yes, Roger, yes.
Okay. Thank you. Hare Krishna. So let us offer our prayers to our Guru Parampara and then all the way to Krishna. Om Ajnana Timirandasa Jnananjana Salaka चक्षुन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरुश्युतपदकमलम् ಗಣರಘುನಾಥನ್ ವಿದ್ಯಾಧಾ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪಾದ ಸಗಣ ಲಲಿತಾ ಶ್ರೀ ವಿಷಂತ ನಮಸ್ತುತೆ ತಪ್ತ ಕಾಂಚನ ಗೌರಾಂಗಿ ರಾಧೆ ವೃಂದಾವನೇಶ್ವರಿ ವೃಷಭಾನುಸುತೆ ದೇವಿ ಪ್ರಣಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿಪ್ರಿಯೇ ವಾಂಚಾಕಲ್ಪತರುಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾ ಸಿಂಧುವ್ಯೇವ ಚ ಪತಿತಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ನಾರಾಯಣಂ ನಮಸ್ಕೃತ್ಯ ನರಂ ಚೈವ ನರೋತ್ತಮಂ ದೇವೀಂ ಸರಸ್ವತೀಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಂ ತತೋ ಜಯಂ ಉದೀರಯತ್ ನಷ್ಟ ಪ್ರಾಯೇಷು ಭದ್ರೇಷು ನಿತ್ಯಂ ಭಾಗವತ ಸೇವೆಯ ಭಗವತಿ ಉತ್ತಮ ಶ್ಲೋಕೆ ಭಕ್ತಿರ್ಭವತಿ ನೈಷ್ಠಿಕಿ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ ಶಾಸ್ತ್ರ ವಿಚಾರನೈಕ ನಿಪುಣೌ ಷಡ್ ಧರ್ಮ ಸಂಸ್ಥಾಪಕೌ ಲೋಕಾನಾಂ ಹಿತಕಾರಿಣೌ ತ್ರಿಭುವನೆ ಮಾನ್ಯೌ ಶರಣ್ಯಾಕರೌ ರಾಧಾ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪದಾರವಿಂದ ಭಜನ ಆನಂದೇನ ಮತ್ತಾಲಿಕೌ ರೂಪ ಸನಾತನ ರಘುಯುಗೌ ಶ್ರೀ ಜೀವ ಗೋಪಾಲಕೌ Let me read the translation. I think I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, namely Shri Sanatan Goswami, Shri Rupa Goswami, Shri Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Shri Raghunath Dasa Goswami, Shri Jeeva Goswami, and Shri Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who are very expert in scrutinizingly studying all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of all the human beings. Thus they are honored all over the three worlds, and they are worth taking shelter of because they are absorbed in the mood of the gopis and are engaged in the transcendental loving service of Shri Radha and Krishna. I think, Prabhuji, there is no video image, or I think maybe, if it's just give me a few minutes, I can reboot it, you know. Is Makarand Prabhu, is it okay if I reboot it? So there is no video image or anything
no,
like
that. I think please continue this way.
We are okay with this. I mean to say, in case we do not get in. If you are sure you are going to reboot and have these images also coming in, you may do so.
I can try. No, just. I'm sorry. I can just try.
Prabhuji, Haribol. We have only 8 video connections.
Oh, I see. Okay. Okay, then I'll go then. I'm sorry about that. Hare Krishna. Let us, I think that's Krishna's will. I think we have to. This static is also there, I think.
No, but voice is clear now. I mean, we have no issues with the voice.
Okay. Just a minute, 1 minute.
Yeah, okay.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Shila Prabhupada, Jai Shila Prabhupada, Govinda Madhu Purusham Bham Bhajami. So, this is the first PowerPoint. So, I thought we can very quickly review what we learned last week. And the last week's class was on the Mangalacharan verses. Sri Jiva Goswami offers his Mangalacharan verses. There are 8 verses actually. So there are 3 main highlights. First, there are 3 types of Mangalacharana. One is putting namaskar, offering obeisances to one's worshipping deity, one's guru, and so on like that. And then seeking blessings from the Lord. And the third, that is the Vastu Nirdesha, in which the author, Srila Jiva Goswami, identifies what is the subject matter of his book, primary subject matter of the book. And here, of course, that is Lord Shri Krishna, which is non-different from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, you know. So, in the very first Mangalacharana, Srila Jiva Goswami offers his obeisances and he selects a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. So our Acharya is explaining what is the significance. Rather than offering his own verse, he quotes a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, 5th chapter, text 32. And that is about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually. In fact, that verse is actually spoken by one of the Nav Yogendras to King Nimi, Garbhajan Rishi. And he is responding to the question of King Nimi about the incarnation of the Supreme Lord in different yugas. So it's Yuga Avatara. And what is the Lord's name, complexion, and what is the method that is specifically tailor-made for that particular Yuga Avatara, you know. So, in the previous verse to that, Navayogendra, this Yogendra Rishi, is explaining, that, and he also, actually, Sri Jiva Goswami also makes quotation in his commentary about Garbhani also, who came to give, it's called Namkarana ceremony, name-giving ceremony, in confidence, in privacy to Nanda Baba and Yashoda Maiya. So there it is explained that the Lord Vishnu appears in Sati Yuga as the white complexion, and he's that is Lord's name is Hamsa Avatara, you know, Swan Emanation. And the method of worship in the Lord is actually the meditation where people is to live 100,000 years lifespan. So they is to perform some 50,000, 60,000 years. Valmiki Rishi is one example. He meditated for 60,000 years. So in Treta Yuga, the Lord's complexion is red and he is a celibate actually. And Lord's name is Lord Vishnu or Lord Yajna Purusha, and the Vedic fire sacrifice is the main method of worshipping the Lord, you know. And then in the Dwapara Yuga, Lord appears as the dark blue complexion, dark complexion, and here, Gargamuni also tells that your son, so that is in Dwapara Yuga, Shri Krishna appears actually. And then other yugas, so by elimination, this other yuga remaining is the Kali Yuga. So there, the Lord's complexion is yellow, golden yellow complexion. And of course, that is that's where Jiva Goswami talks about actually, that the Lord is mentioned in the Puranas, and he talks about one particular Purana is Lord Vishnu Dharmottara, Narada Dharmottara Purana, where the Lord is addressed as Tri Yuga. So what is the significance of Tri Yuga? Tri Yuga means the Lord appears only in three Yugas, Sati Yuga, Treta Yuga and Dwapara Yuga. And Kali Yuga, Lord does not manifest. So there is a controversy about that. Here actually that's supported by Puranas as well as Jiva Goswami also mentions about the example where Prahlad Maharaj offers prayers to Lord Narasimha Deva, where Prahlad Maharaj also addressed Narasimha Deva as Tri Yuga, you know. So how is this kind of controversy is resolved? And then he quotes about acharyas like Sridhar Swami. Sridhar Swami mentions that it is actually the Lord's incarnation Kali Yuga is actually unmanifest or hidden, concealed. Sanskrit name is called Channa Avatara. Channa Avatara means concealed incarnation. So how do we explain that, you know? So Jiva Goswami talks about this particular dual interpretation in this particular verse, that the first Mangalacharana, Tvisha Krishnam. Tvisha means Lord's complexion. So Tvisha Krishnam can be grammatically divided, broken into, this is a compound word, and it's permissible. Either you can say Tvisha Akrishnam or Tvisha Krishnam. So Sridhar Swami interprets a Tvisha Krishnam. Tvisha means complexion. Krishnam is a dark blue complexion, dark complexion. So he says that the Lord Krishna is the one who appears in Dwapar Yuga and Kali Yuga. Whereas Jiva Goswami talks about the other way of interpreting this compound word, Tvisha Akrishnam, complexion, that is, he is not black, he is not dark blue complexion, but actually he is in golden avatara and is concealed, golden yellow, and is concealed because here Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is appearing, he does not as himself, in fact he appears as his own devotee, so that's why it's a hidden incarnation. So in a way that's kind of explains. And the second Mangalacharana, actually, Jiva Goswami gives his own composition, composition sense. He's explaining this particular verse in his own words, where he says, Antaha Krishna. So internally, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, but externally, Bahir, Bahir means outside, externally, he is golden blue, golden yellow incarnation, golden yellow complexion. So he appears in the mood of Srimati Radharani, whose complexion is also golden, molten gold, like, you know. So that is the way how he resolves this controversy. So then the question comes, does Chaitanya Prabhu appears every? No. Actually, Krishna, the original Krishna, the Vrindavan Krishna, the full avatari, not avatar, he is the fountainhead of all the incarnation, as he is, as he is in Golok Vrindavan Dhamma, that's where he appears in this Bhauma Vrindavan as himself, the original personal Godhead, only once in a day of Lord Brahma, and that is 28th millennium of the 28th millennium of Lord Brahma's day. It's called Sveta Varaha Kalpa. Yeah. In at the end of Dwapara Yuga. And the same millennium in the Kali Yuga, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears actually. So in a way, it sort of again reinforces what Sridhar Swami said, that it is Krishna as his dark complexion appears all other Yugas, other Kali Yugas, but in this particular Kali Yuga, it's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears as a Yuga Avatar actually. In the sense, well, that is, Jiva Goswami says, in a way, he is not different from Krishna. So Krishna came in the mood of Srimati Radharani, you know. So that is the importance of that. So I just want to very quickly review about that. So now we can begin our today's class. So the ninth verse reads, next PowerPoint, PowerPoint number. So yeah, in the toward the end of the class, I also mentioned about this, the Jiva Goswami also establishes that anybody who writes a book or any transcendental project one starts, there are four prerequisites, four essential elements at the outset of the book. They clarify that. So here also, Jiva Goswami also does. So what is this called Anubandha Chatushtaya? In Sanskrit, word Anubandha literally means, Anubandha means sort of ties down or threads these four prerequisite elements. And what are they? The first, this is the criteria of a reader, of the one who studies this book. So, and that is in the sixth, Mangalacharana Jiva Goswami mentions that the one who is reading this book must have a desire to worship the lotus feet of Lord Shri Krishna. You know, those who are scholarly minded people who study this Shara Sandarbha is not for them. You know, and basically I also try to do this thing in presenting course that it's very important that we all have a genuine desire to cultivate the bhakti for Lord Shri Krishna. Again, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not from Krishna. And then the second prerequisite is to, so there's sambandha, adhideya, and prayojana. So what is the sambandha? So normally when one talks about sambandha, it's usually the relationship between the living entities and the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna. You know, we have eternal relationship, you know. Here, Jiva Goswami talks about the relationship between the subject matter of the book, and here the subject matter of the book is Srimad Bhagavatam actually. No? So there is no difference between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam, sound incarnation of Sri Krishna. So here, the subject, remember, again I repeat, Sri Krishna is the Swayam Bhagavan, who is the original personality of Godhead, who is the fountainhead of all the incarnation. So that Krishna is talking about as the subject matter, Vastu Nirdesha. So what is the relationship of that subject, Sri Krishna, and his book? That is Sambandha he established. And that relationship is in the form of the medium Srimad Bhagavatam. Through Bhagavatam, he is going to establish relationship between the book and Sri Krishna. So that's very important to remember. Then what is the abhideya? Abhideya is the how he is going to approach that. So he is saying that he is going to approach by the practical means, Vishaya, that is the Sri Krishna, through so it's a practical means of realizing Krishna, and that is in the eighth Mangalacharana, he talks about that actually. In Sanskrit, let me read that last line of that eighth verse. And Ramakrishna Prabhu actually asked me to give the Sanskrit of all the eight Mangalacharana. I'm sorry I didn't do it, but I'm going to do it very soon, you know, in just a matter of a couple of days. So, because of the lack of time, I'm going to read the last line of this Mangalacharana 8. Where he gives this relationship. He says, Sir Shri Krishna, he is this Krishna. Who is this Krishna? Swayam Iha Bhagavan, one who is the Bhagavan, complete realization of Krishna as a person, Swayam, who is the original person of Godhead, that Krishna is talking about. And what is, hello? So that Krishna, he is approached Abhideya, that is by, he said, the verse says, Sa Shri Krishna Vidatam Swayam Iya Bhagavan Prema Tadapadabhajam Tadapadabhajam. That means he is praying to Krishna please bestow, please grant me your loving devotional service, Krishna Prema Bhakti. So that is the end result of that process of bhakti. The end result is this prayojana, Krishna Prema Bhakti. So see, all these four prerequisites is included in this text 6 and text 8, Mangalacharana 8. So now when he begins with the, so these 8 Mangalacharana verses, it's called Anucheda, given in a poetry form, now onwards, each Anucheda is talking about all the way from 9 through 63 is in the prose form, paragraph form, just like speaking like a dialogue, So that's where he begins the 9th Anucheda, referring to this particular text 8 actually. So let's, the next third PowerPoint. So here, before I talk about 9th Anucheda, let me give you a breakdown of this particular part 1. So now, so here you see this it's a kind of a overview of this particular part that we are going to discuss. Remember last week I showed you a similar breakdown of the entire Tattva Sandarbha, where I talked about introduction, and then Mangalacharana third is that the explanation of those things. And there I talked about how Tattva Sandarbha is divided into three parts, basically three parts in the sense, Mangalacharana, then part one is Pramana Khanda, and then Prameya Khanda, and then of course the how he is dividing that thing, the method that he's talking about. So here Pramana Khanda part one, that is what I further divide. So it's like it's kind of a way of describing things called mind mapping. Actually, you can, it's very useful way to remember, store in your memory bank large amount of material. So there's a main subject matter and how it breaks into different branches and how the each of the branches further breaks down to sub branches and further sub to sub branches. So that is the way called mind mapping, So that in the first that mind map, I showed you the overview of the entire Tattva Sandarbha, and there are two parts in it, Pramana Khanda and Prameya Khanda. So now I'm breaking down the Pramana Khanda in different subsections actually. So here you see Pramana Khanda is also translated as to etymological belief. So this is in the Anucheda sections number 9 through 28. Now, before we even begin, now this is a very, very important point I must stress here. This is the most important point, this Pramana Khanda, because if we don't understand properly, we are not understanding the rest of the Tattva Sandarbha, and thereby the rest of the entire six Sandarbhas, rest of the five Sandarbhas. So we must really clearly understand what he's talking about in Pramana Khanda. So that is called epistemological validity. So first important point here, what is epistemology? So I really looked up into the dictionary actually. So episteme, it's a Greek word meaning knowledge, philosophy, and the logy, that means it's study of knowledge. What it means, how do we establish the knowledge is really true knowledge as it is that we are looking for, just like Srila Prabhupada talks about Bhagavad Gita as it is, So what is the infallible way, sure way to establish the knowledge? Because here the goal is to get the knowledge of the ultimate reality, the absolute truth, that is Sri Krishna, Bhagavan Sri Krishna. Knowledge, so that's a transcendental knowledge. So we must ascertain that whatever the method we choose, it should answer that question. That should establish, that should arrive to a proper knowledge, particular knowledge that we are looking for. So that is what we need to have, this evidence. Pramana means evidence, and I'm going to describe the define that word also, pramana itself, in the next PowerPoint actually. So here you see that, so this is the overview. So that is Pramana Khanda. It's the is the study of how to establish this is the right method to arrive at this knowledge of Krishna, the ultimate reality. And if you remember last week, I also explained to you that the ultimate reality is not something, a research area that you can study the book and find out yourself. By our independent endeavor, we cannot understand Krishna. Krishna is unknowable. He himself says actually in Bhagavad Gita that he is unknowable. So how to know one who is unknowable? Only when the unknowable decides to reveal himself. That's the idea. So that Mahalajana 8, actually that Srila Jiva Goswami prays to Krishna that please grant me your loving devotional service so that I can cultivate the ultimate goal of my life is to develop Krishna Prema Bhakti. And that is Sudurlabham. It is the extremely rare of the rare, the Tom, Dick and Harry of devotee. Because he himself becomes servant of that devotee. So he gives very, very carefully, very rarely he ever gives it up. So that's what he said. So here, so first two lessons, we have a total 18 lessons. First lesson is the introduction. Second lesson is Mangalacharana. So now the third lesson, he is going to establish here that what is the best evidence is the Vedic authority. That is the best means of arriving to understand this absolute truth. And here we are attempting to seek the mercy, to evoke the mercy of Lord Shri Krishna. Yeah, that's what Jiva Goswami is saying that here. So by Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri of Srimad Bhagavatam, that's his medium by which he's going to develop, and by this devotional service. So Vedas, the Vedic authority, Shab Brahmana, scriptural authority, that is the most appropriate way to approach this subject. That's what he's saying in this particular section. So that is today's lesson. And that towards the end of this lesson also I'm included that although it is the best, most appropriate authority to answer the question that we are looking for, Vedas, however, there are difficulties studying that, and we will understand what are those difficulties as Jiva Goswami explains. And what is Jiva Goswami's suggestion, approach, that is kind of a dilemma. It is the best means of understanding that, and yet there are difficulties. So what is that? Generally, one would suggest, why not study Vedanta Sutra, again written by Srila Vyasadeva himself, who also wrote Srimad Bhagavatam. Later on, we will find out in next week's class that even Srila Vyasadeva also did not compile Bhagavatam. It was revealed to him in his samadhi, in his trance. Everything was shown to him, and that's how he presented that actually. You know, so here, what are those difficulties? That we'll go through that list of difficulties are there. So then Srila Jiva Goswami says that even Vedanta Sutra is not going to serve the purpose, because Vedanta Sutra is like a few phrase of words, very few words, and there could be multiple meanings. So it's ambiguity. It's very difficult for a common person to understand. You need to be taught under the self-realized soul. So not everybody can understand that. So that is why Srila Jiva Goswami talks about why not do this Itihas and Purana. Itihas is this Mahabharata, you know, that is part of Itihas, the history. And Puranas, out of Purana he's going to mention that it is the Srimad Bhagavatam, that's what he's going to arrive at, you know. Not all 18 Puranas is the answer. And it is part of the Vedas. Srila Vyasadeva, in the beginning, before the end of Dwapar Yuga, there was only one Veda. He divided into four because he knew in Kali Yuga, people would not have a long lifespan to study. and they have a very limited intelligence, limited memory power, and so on like that. So to simplify it, he made it into four Vedas. And even four Vedas, it is also very difficult. So then he compiled this Puranas. You know, Puranas is by historical examples and a simple Laukik Sanskrit. The Sanskrit used in Vedas is very, very difficult, very difficult. So it's not an everyday spoken Sanskrit. So so the common people can understand for studying Puranas. Same knowledge is given. So that is going to be discussed in this Anuchadas 13 to 15. So 9 to 12 going to discuss today. And the sex and the lesson 5, there we will go through, and that's a very important section also, that is section 16 through 18, where how Srila Vyasadeva, the Supreme Lord, actually reveals the Srimad Bhagavatam to him, and that's how he's going to compose. When he goes into trance by the order of his spiritual master, Narad Muni. So we'll go through at length the significance of this Srila Vyasadeva's supercognitive samadhi, trance. Supercognitive means it reveals to him completely about who is Lord Shri. So he reveals himself. That's how one cannot do research. Srila Vyasadeva did not do this kind of research. He did not compile Bhagavatam out of his own imagination. It was completely revealed to him in his trance. Krishna, his expansion, Nam Rupa Lila Dham, his different potencies, including even the external potency Maya, and what is Maya's relationship vis-a-vis our living entities versus Shri Krishna. Maya is the servant of Krishna. So he's completely under the control of Shri Krishna. And yet Maya controls the living entities. So what is our condition in that? So that's all this thing was shown to Srila Vyasadeva in his trance by Shri Krishna. And that's why then he sat down and compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam. So that's the very significant part of that. So section 16, 17 and 18. Then 19 through 22, there we are going to learn, it's not all 18 Mahapuranas that is going to answer the question. Because there is also hierarchy. It's only Srimad Bhagavatam that is the essence of all Vedic literature. So that's we are going to discuss in sections 19-22 how Srila Jiva Goswami approaches that. And then the next two sections, lessons 7, first lesson 7, 23-26 is the glory, the potency of Srimad Bhagavatam is discussed. So Srimad Bhagavatam is self-authoritative. It does not depend on anything else. By itself, it's authoritative. Authoritative in what sense? It reveals who is the ultimate reality, who is the absolute truth. And that is Sri Krishna, Bhagavan. So that Srimad Bhagavatam is reveals about that self-evident. Because why? Srimad Bhagavatam is non-different from Krishna himself. It is the Srimad Bhagavatam is the sound incarnation of Sri Krishna. And the lesson 8, text 27 to 28, that is where Jiva Goswami is going to explain to us how he is going to approach that. You know, he already mentioned he is going to approach through Srimad Bhagavatam as a medium to show the connection between Krishna and his book. Book is about Sandarbhas. So how he's going to do that by Srimad Bhagavatam as a medium. You know? So now this text 9 begins now. So that is the broad overview of what we are going to discuss in the next few weeks. And that's where, as I said, this Pramana Khanda is the most important part of the entire 6 Sandarbhas, not only just Sandarbha. So unless and until we understand it in a sense, we are not going to understand the significance of the rest of the Sandarbhas. So it's very important. We carefully, actively hear, attentively hear this thing. So here it begins, text 9, by showing what he already discussed in Mangalacharan 8, where he says this verse means the previous verse, Mangalacharan 8, very short. He has alluded to various topics, the Chatushtaya Anubandha, the Chatushtaya that I was talking about, that is put in that text 8, Mangalacharan 8. So there Shri Krishna, that is the subject, Vastu Nirdesha, that is the subject matter of his book. And then Sambandha, what is the relationship between Krishna and his book? So relation between him and the words that he is going to describe him. And then what we are enjoined to do, how we are going to do in the devotional mode, you know, that is Abhideya. So in other words, Abhideya, the recommended practice of worshipping Shri Krishna. And finally, what is the end result? What is the goal? What is the prayojana? That is ultimately Krishna Prema Bhakti, the goal. That I read that last line, text 8, that actually answers this. So that is what I just told you last week, that I'm going to tell you, but I'm not going to give you the answers. And that is today, you know. All right. So now he's going to talk about, so he said that before, so that is his, that's what he's going to do, that he already gave that prerequisite in text 8. So now he said, before we decide to go on elaborating those topics in detail, he said that first, but before we can elucidate these topics, we must first settle the question of pramana. What is the best method? What is the best evidence of understanding this absolute truth that he's talking about? You know, that's pramana. What is the evidence? Pramana means evidence. The reliable means of ascertaining facts, the reliable means of arriving the truth that we are after. So in that regard, since an ordinary person is tainted by four faults, all humans, we are conditioned souls, conditioned by the three modes of material nature. So then we have this built-in four defects within us. And that is the obstacle on our path. So beginning with he already says, what are these four defects? Incorrect judgment, that is delusion, you know. The next PowerPoint I'm going to show you that. And especially because his faculties, such as sensory perception, are inadequate for establishing contact with reality, and whose nature is super mundane. Because what we are after is something out of this world, is the transcendental Supreme Personality Godhead, who is all spiritual. You know, and we have this, we are under the material modes of nature. So it is next to impossible that we are going to understand him, you know. So that is what is on our own independent endeavor, we are never going to understand. That's what is Jiva Goswami is saying up front. And that is inconceivable. As you know, Krishna in Sri Isha Upanishad, there's a verse, Krishna is near, he's far. He's inside, he's outside. So he's a built-in contradictions within himself. Material, mundane logic, you cannot understand him. It's clearly only by Krishna's mercy. So we have to evoke his mercy. That is the whole point Sri Jiva Goswami is going to keep on emphasizing throughout, you know. So the whole idea is to really invoke his mercy, by which Krishna himself will reveal to us, and then only we are going to understand that. So we have these four defects. And this, now he's going to discuss why Vedic Pramana, Vedic evidence, is the best means to approach this problem. Okay, let's next PowerPoint, please. So PowerPoint number 5. So now is about the necessity of this epistemological validity. Again, what is epistemology? Epistemology means what is the right way, best way, infallible way to understand the knowledge as it is, the transcendental knowledge. And we have this built-in, and we are after the subject matter that is beyond, out of this world, is all spiritual. So that is the main problem. So here, why do we need this, why it's necessary to first establish what is the evidence for this right method, you know. So here is, there are 10 pramanas, 10 kinds of evidence as evidences. Now this is actually, it's described by these sages who this Sharadarshan, if you might have heard about it. It is the six different kinds of philosophical schools, each represented by a specific rishi, sage. So that's called six darshana. And the basis of that, all six darshana, although they have different viewpoints, nonetheless, underlying that they all depend, they all accept Vedas as the supreme authority. So based on that, here we are going. So epistemological validity is reliable or infallible means of knowledge, knowing or understanding the ultimate or absolute reality. And that is Sri Krishna. How do we understand? So, and that is indispensable. We must establish that. So there are 10 pramanas about it generally. Out of 10, is the first three are the most important. Rest 7 is the just combination of that, you know. So here, how can we claim to know anything in truth if our means of knowing to be is flawed or uncertain? Obviously, so that is why it's the necessity. So we must first establish that. Therefore, it's pramana or valid knowledge to understand that. So it's evidence of authority. It's like, you know, if you want to study a particular subject matter, even a material platform, you have to get to write textbook and then approach a person who is knowledgeable in that. Then only we can do that. Even on a material platform, what to speak of this spiritual platform. So what is the fallibility, you know, is due to this condition state that Srila Jiva Goswami defines in his Anuchada 9, you know. Because we are conditioned by the three modes of material nature. So we have this built in these four defects within us. First is delusion. We are prone to come under illusion, Krishna's Maya potency. And that arises because we are under the bodily conception of life. We misidentify ourselves, even though we are pure spirit soul. We identified ourselves with this physical body. Even the devotees like us, we know that fact. The way we act, we identify with ourselves, with physical body. You know, otherwise, there cannot be miseries about that. So because of that, we come into delusion. What is delusion? That which is not there. Maya, ma-aya. Aya means this. Ma means not. What you see, that is not. So it's kind of hallucination. You know. So that is the delusion called, in Sanskrit word, it's called Brahma. Brahmita. Brahmita means one who are under illusion, one who is delusioned. What is the second limitation we have? Is this propensity to make mistakes. Because we are in the delusion, we make mistakes. It's called, the word is called pramada. Pramada is inattentiveness due to mind not fixed on a particular sense. Now look for example, there are five Gyanendriyas, eyes, ears, nose, tongue, and skin, you know. So these senses by which we sense, we interconnect with our surroundings. So eyes must in contact with the sense object, a form, you know. So, and simply that is not enough. Because the mind also simultaneously connected with that. So let's see, don't we say sometimes when we are absent-minded, then even we see the thing right in front of us that is not registered in our consciousness. So that means soul is not able to see that. So that mind also has to be in direct contact with it. Sense and sense objects, they have to be in contact, but even the mind has to be in contact. The mind is the one under which all the 10 senses are under control. So that's very, very important. Just like we are hearing this, you know, we have to have attentive mind. So even though we are hearing this class right now, but our mind is wandering elsewhere. Oh, I have to do this Monday. I have to do something else. So when our mind starts wandering around, then even though when we hear something, even when we register in our consciousness, soul is not going to notice that. So attentive chanting also, it is emphasized, we have to have a mind in it, you know. Otherwise, we are not going to see that. Just like, you know, when somebody is saying something or we are seeing something, the mind is elsewhere, wandering elsewhere. That sense and sense objects, although they are in contact, the soul, the consciousness is not going to register that. The third defect, because we make mistakes, we cheat them. We have a tendency to cheat because we don't want to appear that we are committing errors. So the dishonesty come into play. And that is Sanskrit word called vipralipsa. Vipralipsa. That means we have this, and every conditioned soul has that defect, all these four defects. So we cheat others. So we want to present ourselves to others that we are perfect. This is to compensate for our mistakes. Then the fourth defect, fourth and final defect, is our senses are also not perfect. We have it's functionally perfect. So these five cognitive senses we have operating through their sense objects, they're so built-in functional limitations are there. Our eyes are not perfect. Even though when we see something, it's like in a semi-darkness, when you see a branch of a tree or a rope is hanging on the rope, on the tree branch, it seems like we think like it is a snake. Not a snake, but it looks like that. So even though we see that, also our senses, our eyes also doesn't have perfect vision. Even what we hear, it cannot tell us definitely what we are hearing because we have these imperfect senses. So these are the four defects, and that compounds the problem to study something. And that's again, it's re-emphasized here in this verse. The problem is further compounded because of the transcendental subject. Krishna is all spiritual, beyond this world, outside of this world. So mundane logic won't work in that. So ultimate reality or absolute truth is also means tattva. And that is Shri Krishna. So with these our defects, on our own endeavor, on our own efforts, on our own research methods, we are bound to become failures in that. So what are these 10 pramanas? This is the six schools of philosophy. They come up with that. Next PowerPoint, please. This is PowerPoint number 6. So I'm going to summarize this 10 pramanas. So only the first three, they are the most important. So there are 10 traditional pramanas, and the first three are important. The Shabda pramana being the most important out of these three. So first one is pratyaksha. Pratyaksha means the direct sensual perception. So when they say that, have you seen by your own eyes? Have you heard by your own ears? They're there, right? But our senses are not perfect, you know. So that is a disperception. In most cases, yes, we go by that actually. And then next one is by deduction, by anumana, by logic. Inferences like sun is rising. You cannot see the sun in the early morning when it's dawn, you know. But how can you say that the sun is there? Because you see this orange light in the horizon. So that's where when you can tell, you know. So it's by logic, friends. The light coming from the horizon. So that is anumana. And the third is shabda. One who is so-called expert in the subject matter, he's going to explain to us, you know, if hopefully he's a truthful person, you know, that he is going to explain. So that is called shabda pramana, by his sound, by his speech, you know. However, we know that everybody is under the condition of the three modes of material. So just shabda pramana is not enough. What we are, so that is called Paurushaya, but it is the Apaurushaya Shabda Pramana, that is what we are after. That's Jiva Goswami's point. Apaurushaya means not of human origin. So there is free, it is free from the four defects. So Apaurushaya means that coming from straight from the spiritual world. So Krishna himself reveals, that is called Apaurushaya. So Krishna himself reveals himself through Srimad Bhagavatam. That's what Jiva Goswami is after. And there are number 4 through 10, they are basically the combination of Pratyaksha and Anumana actually. So I'm not going to go, but just very briefly, there's called Asha, that is the statement of an authoritative sage. Sage is a muni by definition, they themselves contradict each other. They have a different opinions, you know. So we cannot be certain about that. Then Upamana, you compare one thing with other. Like say, they're all men are similar. You know, boys are boys, they say. And yet, there are distinct differences between different men, you know. So that is also not reliable. Then Arthapatti, presumption. So that means to indicate or suggest without being explicitly stating. So that is also not reliable. But it's one of these. So it's a combination of basically pratyaksha and logic. Like anu upalabdhi, that is non-cognition of being. That means if something is not there, it may suggest it is stolen. Like I'll give you one example. And that's a real example actually. Sometime back, one of my friend had a visitor. A young boy came from India visiting them, and his wife was showing her diamond jewelry, you know, to another lady actually, and this boy was standing there, and so what happened? Suddenly she realizes one of her diamond ring was missing, so she became very upset. And I'm telling you, this is a real example. She accused that this must be the only possibility because this young boy visiting from India, no one else was here. No one unknown person. This boy was coming first time and he must have taken it. It turns out that she accuses him wrong because she had just misplaced the diamond ring in her kitchen. Very apologetic. But in the meantime, the boy was in a real predicament, you know, because he was accused of stealing this diamond ring, you know. So this is what happened. If something is missing, immediately you jump to conclusions. So that's also not right. Then sambhava means there is a possibility, could be that like this, could be like this, and so on like that. So again, it's a speculation. And the last is chesta. Chesta means you gesture, you point out something by your, you know, indication. By something, but that's also not perfect. So what is ultimate Jiva Goswami is going, he goes at length to explain all things in his Sarva Samvadini. You know, I told you that when he wrote, when he composed these 6 Shandarvas, he made a lot of presumptions. He was, his address was big scholars of his own his time actually. He was addressing to them. So common people would be very difficult. So then he realized that he wrote his own commentary on his own Sandarbhas, and that's called Sarva Samvadini. That means something that he had not explained properly, and also to complement something, additional things in his Sarva Samvadini, he mentions. So there he explains this thing, you know, this in much greater detail each of these elements. Okay, so now we come to text 10. So what did we learn in text 9? About the necessity that we must have a proper method, reliable method, to ascertain that we are after this transcendental subject, ultimate reality, whether can we, how do we know that this is the right method, you know, and we go by these different pramanas. And the best way, it's Vedas, Vedic authority is the best. Apaurusha Shabda Pramana. Apaurusha means that which is not of this world. It's of divine origin. That which is revealed by the Lord himself. We are going to talk more about Apaurusha Shabda Pramana in just a few moments. So here text 10 now. So what is text 10 is about? So you see this is a prose portion. Prose section is in a prose form. So it's a self-explanatory. Very easy to understand that. And then Acharya further clarifies that. And then Śrīla Jīva Goswami himself actually further clarifies and complements further in his Sarva Samvadini. So here, let me read that. Therefore, these are not reliable sources of valid knowledge. Why? because these four defects. So we want to understand that object which transcends everything. It's a transcendental out of this world, beyond the influence of the three modes of material nature. So which is the shelter of everything? Supreme Ashraya, and that is Shri Krishna. Everybody is under his shelter, but he himself is totally independent. Swarata, no. And Supreme Consciousness, in the very first verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, first chapter, first canto, first verse, that says that. Janmadhyasya itarasya asteshva bhigni swarata. He is a Supreme Consciousness and he is fully independent. And imagine, so for this, our source of knowledge can only be the Vedas. The Vedas consist of non-material sound out of this world, apaurusheya. And they alone should be pramana, our evidence. Because from them have issued all department of knowledge, mundane and spiritual. So everything what we know in this world, even the material knowledge, actually comes from Vedas. It's not like that our scientists discovered something and then we found the knowledge. It comes through this Vedic knowledge, actually. That's how we get that. So everything is actually revealed in Vedas, including our even spiritual knowledge, how to approach the Lord. Among all schools of thought since time immemorial. So this again says the Vedas, there is no beginning, there is no end. When the Vedic knowledge came into this material world, no one knows. In fact, it was revealed at the very moment the material creation came into play. Lord himself reveals that to Lord Brahma, the first living entity, on the very moment after creation. So it's right. So just like Lord is eternal, Vedic knowledge is also eternal. There is no beginning and there is no one who created that other than Shri himself. It came from the breathing process of the Lord. This Vedic knowledge came into play. And that was revealed to first living entity, Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma gave it to Narada Muni. Narada gave it to Vyasadeva. And so on, like in a guru-disciple relationship, disciplic succession, that's how this knowledge is transmitted down to us. And that knowledge then, Srila Vyasadeva put it in a written form. And that's how we have it. Okay, so that is text 10 and some commentaries of our acharyas in the next PowerPoint. PowerPoint number 7, Prabhuji. I'm sorry, number 8, the 7 is here. So, more about this apaurusha sabda pramana. Now, again, what is apaurusha? Means that which is not of this world. Divine origin, no human origin. That means free from the four defects. So, these are the Vedas. Is the only infallible means for acquiring knowledge of the transcendental subject matter. That is Shri Krishna, the supreme reality, the ultimate reality, the absolute truth, Bhagavan Shri Krishna. And that can only be understood by his own revelation in Vedas. So that is apaurusha. That means not of human origin. And that's why, by definition, it is free from these four defects of the human beings, conditioned beings. So it is of divine origin, and that's why it is also eternal, as I just mentioned to you. There is no beginning, it's from time immemorial, this Vedic knowledge is there. And it is revealed by the unknowable Supreme Lord, to first living entity Lord Ma, as the first living entity, at the very beginning of material creation. So our Shat Darshana, those six sages, they accept this Vedic authority of knowledge as apaurusheya. Although the modern scholars, so-called modern scholars, they don't agree. They still think that it is given that Srila Vyasadeva compiled these Vedas, so they have this misconception in their mind that it is human-made. So it's by the imagination of Srila Vyasadeva. All knowledge is there, Vedic knowledge. But in reality, it's not there. Because why? Because Srila Vyasadeva himself, it is universally accepted by all the sages, that he is he is human, but he is the empowered incarnation of Lord Narayana, literary incarnation, of Lord Narayana. So he is not ordinary human. He is beyond the influence of the Moksha Madhya. And that also it was revealed to him in his trance that we will hear a week after next. And here Bhakti, Baladeva Vidya Bhushana, his comments, he warns that the Shabda Pramana, the so-called experts who gave these lectures, who gave commentaries, that is not a Paurusheya. Because even though they may be knowledgeable, but not complete knowledge, not possession of complete knowledge, and that also imperfect. Therefore, subject to human defects. So it is further establishes the value why we need this Shabda Pramana from Shabda Pramana means scriptural authority, Vedic authority, coming from the Lord Himself from time immemorial, and it is eternal, that means. And that's the comment given by Srila Jiva Goswami Himself in this complimentary additional commentary by in Sarva Samvadini. There he mentions about that it is not subject to mundane logic. It's beyond that. Because Krishna is beyond the logic. Alright? So now, he in the text 11 now, is the now we are going to see text 11 in this PowerPoint number 9, slide number 9. So here, again, it's a prose form. So Srila Jiva Goswami, as if he's talking to us, he's explaining very, it's a self-explanatory. So now here, he is going to quote scriptural evidence in support of what is Apaurusheya Shabda Pramana. So he says, this is upheld by statements like this. So he is quoting from Vedanta, different. Then Mahabharata he quotes also, so Itihasa. And also he quotes great Vedic scholars like Uddhava. Uddhava is actually a very learned personality who himself was taught by the spiritual master of the demigods, Brihaspati. He's the disciple of Brihaspati. And also he's the confidential associate of Lord Shri Krishna himself. Krishna personally instructed him all this knowledge in Uddhava Gita in Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 11. In fact, we conducted a course in Uddhava Gita. So he quotes all these personalities, all these different scriptural evidence in support of what he says, why Apaurusha Shabda Pramana, Vedic authority, is the way, infallible way of arriving, establishing this particular knowledge about the absolute truth, ultimate reality, Sri Krishna. So here, just quotations are there, you know. So because logical conjecture is never conclusive, just I've given the example, because mundane logic is one information depend on something else, that itself is debatable. So that's why mundane logic doesn't apply here. And things still cannot be explained by logic. So Vedic authority is like that, is beyond mundane logic. Because scripture is the source of knowledge about it. No, because revealed scriptures say otherwise, and knowledge of the Supreme is derived from transcendental sound. And this, for the forefathers, demigods, so these are different quotations from different scriptures that he's quoting here. And then Sarva Samvadini, he goes in great detail about that, Vedanta Sutra, Mahabharata, and so on like that. The Vedas are your own perfect eyes, that is Supreme Lord's eyes. And Lord himself spoke that, in fact, it came about by the Lord's breathing process, it's given in the Shastra. They are the best instrument. And Lord Krishna himself actually also reveals to Uddhava also about this in the 11th canto of Uddhava Gita. These are the best instrument for seeing what cannot ordinarily be perceived. So it is achintya, conceivable. You know. So it can be perceived only by the Lord himself. When we see that it's revealed to us, then only we can perceive. Otherwise we don't have that ability. And for certain the goals and means of progressive life. Okay. So some comments about this text 11. The Vedas have no human author, as I just told you. Even though among humans, Srila Vyasadeva is human, no doubt, but he's an empowered incarnation of Lord Narayana, and he is the literary incarnation. So he is the editor of the Vedas, is universally recognized as the empowered literary incarnation of Lord Narayana. So Vyasa is not his name actually. Vyasa is the position. In every millennium towards the end of Dwapara Yuga, before Kali Yuga begins, this different personality who acts as Vyasa. In fact, in the, so this is the 28th millennium is going on. In the, his father, Parasara Muni, was the Vyasa himself in the 6th millennium. But this 28th millennium is, as I told you, is a very special one. Krishna, original personality of God, had himself appeared. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself appeared in this millennium. And Srila Vyasadeva, as the incarnation of Lord Narayana, literary incarnation, also appeared in this millennium. In no other millennium it happened like that. So this is something very special about this particular millennium, that we are fortunate enough to live here. So ample scriptural evidence from Vedanta Sutra, Mahabharata, and statement of Uddhava, compiled by Srila Vyasadeva, as the renowned Vedic scholar. So the Vedic authority is actually the authority of the Supreme Lord. That's why it's called Apaurusheya. And after the divine vision of his personal viewpoint to those willing to accept it, that's why Lord. So that's why we have to really be very attentive in hearing that. Right up from beginning, Srila Jiva Goswami put that condition for us. That what is the criteria of eligibility of reading this thing? Otherwise we will be committing an offense. So one of the Vedanta Sutra, you know, the first one is Atata Brahma Jigyasa. So the third one is called Shastra Yonitva. Shastra Yonitva. It's the third aphorism, it's Vedanta Sutra. And that says this transcendence, the transcendental personality, the absolute truth, the ultimate reality, is beyond mundane logic. It's out of this world. So it is not subject to our limitations of that. So in Sarva Samvadini, Srila Jiva Goswami talks about the deals with other technical matters about the perception of higher truth through language. Vedic teachings cannot be understood correctly by mundane speculative method. So this is the very important lesson we have to learn here. You know, sometimes when we read Srimad Bhagavatam, and something that doesn't strike us as believable, then we begin to start questioning. It's like a frog in a well. For a frog, that well itself is an ocean for him. He has no other conception. When somebody said, no, this is just nothing, there's a big, huge ocean is outside there, he would not accept it that, you know. So it is like that. Because we are conditioned by the modes here. Not only that, we are dogmatized. Something which we are not used to it, something we never heard about it, something which we had never seen. Then suddenly somebody is saying something that, beyond that, we have a hard time to believe that. So many things in Srimad Bhagavatam, people sometimes wonder when he's at a neophyte stage. So there's a first condition, requirement of studying Srimad Bhagavatam is that you have to have firm faith. Even though I don't understand now, but by the mercy of the Lord and his devotees, eventually, if I am persistent, if my faith is strong enough, if my determination is firm enough, if I continue my daily sadhana, then by Lord's mercy, I will understand in due course of time. That is the kind of consciousness with which we must study Srimad Bhagavatam. And that is the same consciousness Jiva Goswami also demands from us when we study these six sandarbhas. Because six sandarbhas itself, they are also the commentary on the special essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. So we have to have that requirement. We cannot afford to have suddenly applying our material logic into it. So now we come to text 12. Now here's one example. This Anuccheda, somebody's microphone is on, like. Okay, now we are here. Srila Jiva Goswami is going to point out to us that after establishing Vedas is supreme authority, best authority, in our best pramana, best evidence, a most infallible way to understand absolute truth, ultimate reality, and yet there are built-in difficulties are there. And that's why we have to go through Itihas and Purana. So that is what he is going to talk about. So this is one example. So this Anuchada 12 is divided into several verses. Actually, there are four verses are there. And not verses. Again, it's in a prose form. So there are four subsections are there. So I'm going to just read very quickly. And most of it, we are going to continue this discussion next week onwards. Okay. So we should consider the authoritative sound of the Vedas. So I'm going to just read, because this is in the prose form. In authoritative sound of the Vedas, Shabda Pramana and Apavrusha Shabda Pramana, is impossible for anyone in present tense to study completely, because its meaning is difficult to construe. And even the sages who have explained it in commentaries disagree among one another. For these reasons, we would be well advised, this is something Jiva Goswami is talking about. For these reasons, we would be well advised, now I summarize many of the difficulties in the subsequent PowerPoints, okay? To make it more simple for us to understand. We'd be advised to turn our attention to Shabda Pramana of the Itihas and Purana. And that he's going to subsequently going to prove to us that that's Itihas and Purana is also part of the Vedas, but free from those difficulties. Okay? So that definitely we explain what the Vedas mean. Since the Vedic text, whose purport is not self-evident, can be deciphered. Deciphered means explained, simplified, or solved those difficulties. For reference to the Itihas and Purana. The Itihas and Puranas are the appropriate sources of correct knowledge for our times in this special Kali Yuga, because we have very limited intelligence, we have a very limited lifespan, and we have a limited memory. Okay, that's the first part of this text 12. Next one, subtext now 12.2. Hari Bol. So text 12 I'll read here. Thus we read in, so now he's going to quote Mahabharata and this Manu Samhita. One should complete the Vedas with the Itihas and Puranas. And elsewhere it is said that the name Purana comes from the word completion, Purana. See that? Now this I never knew before actually. Wonderful, this Purana comes from the word Purana. Purana means complete. So Vedas are not complete until you study this Puranas. Now the Advaitavadis, they don't accept Puranas as part of Vedas, you know. So just as one cannot properly fill in the missing part of the broken gold bangle with a cheap tin, one cannot completely complete the Vedas with that which is not also Vedas. So it is like that, that if you have a gold ring and if it is, you know, if it's cracked or something, and if you take it to goldsmith, he's not going to rip it with a lead or something like that. He has to repair it with gold itself. So same way here also, the difficulties are there in the Vedas. We cannot supplement something else, that which is right within the Vedas itself. So Itihas or Purana is part of the Vedas. It's called fifth Veda. The proof of it will come into the next week. Okay? Hari Bol, next one. So this is the PowerPoint number 13. The third subsection of text 12. But if the sound, Shabda Pramana, which constitute the Vedas, include the Itihas and Purana, so see, he's now raising some difficulties right there, actually. And this is the method, actually, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is talking about Shikshashtaka, there also he uses that, Samshaya. First, he will give the Siddhanta, the principle, and then he will himself raise some points, doubts about it, Samshaya. And then he is going to resolve himself those samshayas and then reinforce that original Siddhanta. So he's same thing here, he's also doing, Jiva Goswami is also doing the same thing. So he says this Itihas and Purana is a part of the Vedas, then we need to look into it within the Vedas for another set of Itihas and Purana, a set other than those commonly read. Otherwise, the Itihas and Purana will not be non-different from the Vedas. Because we have to assume, because we have said right from the beginning, Jiva Goswami said, is the Vedic authority the best one? So we have to ultimately go by Vedas. And we have to go there's postpartum Itihasa Purana, which is part of the Vedas, and yet it should be free from the inherent difficulties of the Vedas, the four Vedas. So it's little complex, but it will be made easier, simplified as we go along, and this will continue the next week, all right? In the next verses 13, 14, and 15, and the Anuchedas. The answer is that, so now he's answering that. Okay, he himself is raising the doubt, and then he himself is going to resolve that. That is the standard way in the Vedic tradition. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself does that when he talks of Shikshashtaka. The answer is that they are in fact non-different because the whole unified collection of verses is one distinct message. In other words, both have a Paurusha authority. That's very important point here. Itihas and Purana is not imagination. Advaita Vadis and some even Vaishnava schools also talk about that. I have a friend actually, he's from Sri Sampradaya, Lakshmi Sampradaya, Ramanujacharya, and he does not accept Puranas, you know, and he talks about that it's a man-made, and he said that it's, you know, later editions have been made and so on like that. So he doesn't consider Puranas as the authentic as the four Vedas and Upanishads, you know. Shankaracharya also says something, but that's not true here. Jiva Goswami is going to prove it to us. So in other words, both, so because that also is a Purusha origin, man-made, not somebody added something like in the 17th and 18th century. That's not true. In spite of this non-difference, the texts are assigned to separate categories in terms of differences in intonation and exact order. And this is going to later prove to us that it is Srimad Bhagavatam that has 18,000 words, and that's originally which was there, still there, even today's world also. There was no addition as opposed to other Puranas. That's why he's going to point out that later. Okay, now we continue the fourth part of this Anucheda 12. Fourth and the final part, the next PowerPoint, number 14. So this non-difference on the grounds that the Itihas and Puranas are as much a Paurusha as the Rig Veda and other Vedas is implied. Is implied in the passage. Now he's quoting the scriptural evidence in support of that, what he's saying that. Madhyan Dina Shruti. Now Shruti is a part of the Vedas. Veda itself is saying that. Beginning thus, so here is the statement. Thus indeed the breath of the Supreme Being constitutes the Rig Veda, Yajur Veda, Sam Veda, and Atharva Angirasa Veda, Itihas and Purana. So now he's quoting that the statement from the Veda itself that the other schools accept that, you know. And Purana is indeed part of that, and yet still it is free from those difficulties that we will just, I'll just spell out in the next couple of PowerPoints. Okay, so now we are seeing this Anucheda 12 in these four subparts. So let's see what our acharyas have to say. And Jiva Goswami himself actually further clarifies, simplifies what his statements in Sarva Samvadi. So although the Vedas are indeed a Paurusha Shabda Pramana, there are difficulties studying. You know? So the idea is here, what is the idea here? That even though the Vedas are the best source of infallible knowledge, there are problems with the Vedas. Hence, the need to accept the authority of Itihas and Purana. So that is the statement. That is what we are going to see that. That's the idea. Okay. So now we are going to see how Jiva Goswami does that. So Srila Vyasadeva divided the original Veda, original Atharva Veda, he divided into four Vedas. Rig Veda, Sam Veda, Atharva Veda, and Yajur Veda. Why he did that? And that's the very name Vyasa. Vyasa means divide. That's what he did for the benefit of the people in Kali Yuga. When Vyasa did that, Kali Yuga had not yet arrived there. But he knew about it. The Kali Yuga is approaching fast. And we will have degraded, you know, faculties, memory wise, lifespan, and so on, like that, and we'll be always disturbed. Upadrava, you know. So, the two main divisions of the Vedas is actually which don't always manifest in their Shruti and Smriti. Shruti means the four Vedas and the Upanishads. What are the Upanishads? Upanishads are the particular segment of the four Vedas that are explained. Comment is given by specific sages. There, those are the 108 Upanishads actually, and that is Srila Vyasadeva also compiled that. There are 10 major Upanishads. So that is Shruti. Shruti means that which is from Guru disciple, disciplic succession, right from beginning. That's one. It's ongoing. Whereas Smriti, that which is heard, must be remembered. So that's Smriti. So Smriti is this Itihas and Purana, the 18 Mahapuranas, the Itihas Mahabharata, that comes into this Smriti. And as I told you, certain schools, they don't accept that. Even certain Vaishnava Sampradayas also don't accept that. But yet, they do accept Srimad Bhagavatam. So there's an exception to that rule, you know. So what are the difficulties? So here, our acharyas are summarized. So I've taken straight from Jiva Goswami himself is spelling out that, and the commentaries by the books I just mentioned to you, by his Narayan, and also, yes, the other name is B.V. Tripurari Maharaj. So those books. So all these PowerPoints I told you right from there, what is my source? So what I'm giving you is a condensed version of these different commentaries, all right? So here are the difficulties. Satyanarayan Prabhu, that's the main commentary that I make use of it. Other one is the Gopi Parandanda Prabhu. Of BBT ISKCON. The third one is Tripurari Maharaj. And of course, then the lectures, the courses I heard from Bhakti Chaitanya Swami Maharaj some 20 years back. So all these things I'm compiling and giving you the condensed version of that. So what are the difficulties in studying the Vedas? And that even though it is the best source, most infallible way of studying that, arriving at the right knowledge, and yet there are difficulties. What are those difficulties? Because unavailability of the complex text of the Veda, that's the first difficulty. Right now we have only 6% of the original Vedic knowledge. Most of it, 94% is actually in the higher planetary worlds, the heavenly planets, Satyaloka and Brahmaloka and so on, so there. Only 6% of the Vedas we have right now in this human society. So we don't have a completion. So like imagine, if you have Bhagavad Gita, which has 700 verses, even Bhagavad Gita also is part of it. So if out of 700 verses, let's say 100 verses are missing, then of course it's difficult, you know. So what is the second difficulty? It's concerning the language. The Sanskrit language that is used in Vedas is very high grade. And that is the only difficulty with this commentary by Satyanarayan Prabhu. Wonderful, very scholarly written. He's a devotee also himself. But his English that he uses is so complex. Every now and then I had to go to the dictionary and look for those. Not commonly utilized English words he uses that. And in the sentence structure is also very complex, very difficult. In that sense, Gopi Parandan Prabhu's book, commentary is easily understood, very straightforward. So the Sanskrit that used in Vedas is meant for not ordinary people. Those who are really Vedic scholars, they only can understand. It's too complex to decipher without hearing and examined by a realized teacher. So we have to have many, many years of training, somebody who is knowledge Vedic scholar. Sometimes people use lifetime to understand that. Vedic scholars, Sahitya scholars, they spend their whole lifetime to understand a small portion of that Vedas. So that is passed on disciplic succession. So for common people, it's very difficult. So that is the second difficulty. Third difficulty, before even studying the Vedas, one must study, is the recommendation, one must study the six angas, limbs called Vedangas, that we must study. And each of them itself, six Vedangas, is very also extensive, very complex, requires serious study. So again, common people of Kali Yuga is very difficult. Fourth difficulty is the further compounded by the fact that in the age of Kali, human memory is grown weaker. Before, in the earlier ages, people used to have this very sharp memory power. Once you heard, they'll remember that, you know. Shruti Dhara, once heard, and they'll remember, memorize themselves. we don't have that capacity in this age of Kali. So our hearing and remembering is really very, very poor. Fifth, so now Jiva Goswami is saying that somebody might suggest an alternative, that why don't we then just study Vedanta Sutra? Srila Vyasadeva himself actually put those Vedic knowledge in this Vedanta Sutra. Vedanta means the end of all the Vedas. In just sutras means just 3-4 words, not even a sentence. But the problem there is that it is only very few words. There are self-built ambiguities are there. And the different sages, different scholars interpret differently. So that is the difficulty for a common person. So what is the ultimate alternative that Srila Jiva Goswami is suggesting? He is saying about this to be solved by Itihas and Purana. He is going to prove it to it, why it is the best alternative. So we are still within the Vedas, because Vedas is the best evidence, but we bypass those difficulties that is not there in Itihas and Puranas. So in a commonly spoken and understandable Sanskrit language, it's called Laukika Sanskrit language, commonly understood, as opposed to the Vedic Sanskrit, in which the meaning of the word can be changed if mispronounced. Even simple mispronounce, completely different meaning there. Like, I'll give you an example. Chita and Chinta. Okay? Chita means the cremation pyre, you know. But Chinta, that is lamentation, worrying about something. So completely opposite meaning is there. Next PowerPoint for you. I think that's the... Yeah, I think that's the end of it. Now we are going to study how in the next week Srila Jiva Goswami is going to prove it to us actually and in great detail why Itihas and read from the difficulties of this Veda. And as he just so there's a hierarchy he's going to point out that there are 18 Puranas, 6 Puranas. Six and we can probably take an example how we are going to conduct next week onwards. So here I told you, Krishna reveals himself. It is not through Srimad Bhagavatam we are trying to understand Krishna, but Srimad Bhagavatam itself is the revelation by Krishna to Srila Vyasadeva. So there is no contradiction here. There is no circular argument here. Do you understand that? But if you are thinking about that way, okay, how do you look for, how do you understand Krishna by going through Srimad Bhagavatam? That is his own explanation, his own life story about that and his different incarnations. Circular argument, on one hand it looks like that, but on the other hand, it's not like that. Because Srimad Bhagavatam, he reveals himself. He revealed that to Srila Vyasadeva, and that's how Srila Vyasadeva did not compile it, did not use his imagination and wrote Srimad Bhagavatam. In his trance, we are going to see the whole class on that. It was revealed to him by Krishna himself, and that's what he wrote it down. And he himself is the incarnation of Lord Vishnu. So there is no contradiction. So this is kind of example. So you have facts given, can you connect the dots? So it'll force you to think on your feet. So here, there are two kinds of intelligence. there's a material intelligence. We are all born with a certain quota of intelligence, right? The micro bacteria, lower animals and human beings. Animals have a very limited span of intelligence. They cannot think beyond that. Humans also, there's a gradation. Some people are more smarter and some other less smart, you know, so on like that. But, so there is a limitation, right? But the spiritual intelligence, if we know what is the source, is coming from Krishna, super soul, and if it is utilized for the purpose of understanding Krishna, then Krishna himself is there, given in Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, I think it's chapter 1, text 36 or 38, I don't remember exactly, but right in second canto, first chapter, I think first or second chapter, he says that I give unlimited flow of intelligence. So if we use our intelligence, attentive hearing, and meditating on that, when the class is over, we meditate on that, come up with a question, more question you ask, more it will be revealed to you. It's like when you do exercise, you make your muscles work, the muscles will grow there much stronger. So intelligence also like that, and especially spiritual intelligence, when you utilize in Krishna's service, Krishna will give you unlimited flow of that intelligence. So that's called spiritual. So this second type of quiz that requires the intelligence, that spiritual intelligence is required. And if you make an attempt to it, Krishna will help you to understand him more and more. He's going to reveal to you through that thinking process. Okay? So again, my team members are warning me, don't scare people. So I'm not trying to do that. I'm just giving you... So first I thought of conducting a survey. But then Sanjay Krishna Chandra Prabhu told me that you don't need to conduct survey because it is already in the voluntary base. Why do we need to conduct survey? So think about it. In the next 2-3 weeks, maybe another month, you tell me, then I will give this, okay? But I just give you today the example of quizzes, these two kinds of quizzes I have in my mind, actually. So this is the way to understand. This is not an extra burden on you. It's a part of the process. It's a part of the devotional service. Part of the learning process. Hari Bol. Somebody's asking a question here.
Hari Bol, can I ask a question?
Yeah, yes, please, Prabhuji.
Krishna Premadas. Now we are saying it should be a Paurusheya. Now, Jiva Goswami is saying like that. Now, okay, we accept Jiva Goswami as an authority, but people who don't accept him as authority, he will say again it is Paurusheya. So how do we establish this as a Paurusheya? His such sandarbhas.
Well, if we don't trust the author, then first of all, we are violating this Mangalacharan 6, actually, right? But here, Jiva Goswami himself very conclusively proves that it's a Paurusha because it is coming straight from Krishna, the authority. It's coming from the breath and it is time immemorial at the time of creation that was given to Lord Brahma, you know? So that is why it is called a Paurusha. It is not the imagination of Srila Vyasadeva that he wrote Srimad Bhagavatam. All right, Prabhuji? So he proves at much greater length. So in a limited time, I could just give you the conclusion of it. But Srila Jiva Goswami goes at great length to prove that Vedas are indeed a Paurusha. It's not made of humans. Srila Vyasadeva compiled it, but it was revealed to him.
Hari Bol, I agree about Srimad Bhagavatam. Hari Bol?
Go ahead.
I agree about Srimad Bhagavatam. What I'm saying is, like Jiva Goswami, 500 years ago, people may say he's a human being. And how do we believe what he's saying about it? How do we accept him as authority? That is Paurusheya, not a Paurusheya.
Prabhuji, is it a question or is it a guesswork? What people may say, we really do not really want to speculate on it. What I want to say is, what I just want to suggest is, if you think in this way, let us know whether it is a question or whether you are speculation.
Whatever he says, Jiva Goswami says, I don't want to argue too much with you, but whatever he says, that he gives tremendous scriptural evidence in support of that, and he is the direct associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, actually. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was a little child, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu blessed him then. And he was trained under Sri Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, who were the direct associate, who received personally the instructions or the philosophy, the Vaishnava philosophy they were taught. And they are the one who trained Jiva Goswami. And moreover, Jiva Goswami, as I told you, that he is no ordinary personality. He was on a transcendental platform. He was previously a Vilas Manjari. He participated in Krishna's pastimes. So all these things says that is different. So, and yet, Srila Jiva Goswami does not claim that what he is giving is own thought. He is quoting very systematically the scriptural evidence in support of that. And again, this is a subject matter we can keep on arguing. Remember, this is not subject to mundane logic. So I don't wish to really argue with you because it's not going to be productive, you know. We have to have faith. Remember, I told you before, right from beginning, Jiva Goswami points out very clearly, unless we accept and we study it in a devotional mode, it's very difficult. So I respect what you said, and you're saying that it's not a Paurusha, or it may not be. I just mentioned my point here, all right? Haribol, please forgive me.
There are a few other questions. I would like to read them quickly. From Raman Krishna Prabhu, what are considered itihas and what are not considered itihas? Second question from Suresh Pruthi Prabhu, itiha tradition. I can't take that word. Please explain it to me.
Yes, there's one of the 10 pramanas. It's one of the 10 pramanas. Itiha. Tradition, there's itihas. The word itihas comes from that.
And last question from me. So we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 7. Where specifically in the 6 sandarbhas can we find references for 7th canto or any canto you want to refer about? Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, maybe you are on mute.
Yeah, the microphone was not on. About the 3 yuga that we discussed last week, there's a mention of Prahlad Maharaj addressing Narasimhadev as 3 yuga. So that prayer, the reference I have already given that comes in the 7th canto. I want to thank Nilima Mataji, who said that
Hare Krishna, Danda Pranam Prabhuji. So the session was really, discourse was really appreciating, and we liked it, and we are satisfied with the discourse. Hare Krishna.
Sorry, my microphone was again was off. What I'm saying that it's Lord's mercy that we are able to speak and we are able to hear. Sharad Mishra is asking Prabhu regarding Apaurusha. Srila Jiva Goswami is quoting Shastra and is explaining and not inventing any argument, scripture, since it is all Apaurusha. That's precisely what is echoing what I just said. Thank you, Sharad. Atul Prabhu, what is the definition of apaurusha? Apaurusha means that is not of human origin, it's divine. That is revealed by Krishna himself. We are already time up. Why don't you write additional questions to me in the email and I'll try to respond, and we will share question and answer both with the entire group, and it's going to be also uploaded on our Bhakti Shastra website. So I'm going to request Dishana Mataji to conclude the class with Nishima prayer that we always do. Hare Krishna, please accept my humble obeisances. Hare Bol.
Namaste Narasimhaya, Namaste Narasimhaya, Praladaladadayine, Praladaladadayine, Hiranyakasipurvakshaha, Hiranyakasipurvakshaha, Silatankanakalaye, Silatankanakalaye, Ito Narsimha Pareto Narsimho, Ito Narsimha Pareto Narsimho, Yato Yato Yami Tato Narsimha, Yato Yato Yami Tato Narsimha, Bahir Narsimho Hridaye Narsimho, Bahir Narsimho Hridaye Narsimho, Narsimha Madim Sharanam Prapadi, Narsimha Madim Sharanam Prapadi, Tavakar Kamalavari Nakham Adbuddha Sringam Dalita Hiranyakasipu Tano Bringam Keshavadrita Narahari Rupa Jaya Jagadisha Hari Jaya Jagadisha Hari Jaya Jagadisha Hari Keshavadrita Narahari Rupa Jaya Jagadisha Hari Jaya Jagadisha Hari Jaya Jagadisha Hari Jaya Narsimha Dev Jaya Narsimha Dev Jaya Narsimha Dev Jaya Narsimha Dev Jaya Prahlad Maharaj Jaya Prahlad Maharaj Jaya Prahlad Maharaj Jaya Prahlad Maharaj Nitai Gora Hari Bol Hari Bol Hari Bol Nitai Gora Hari Bol Jaya Jaya Prabhupad 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupad Jaya Jaya Gurudev 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 Jaya Jaya Gurudev. All glories to the devotees. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Dishana. Thank you so much. Thank you all of you also. It's wonderful for your time and patience. And I look forward to receiving your association next week. Hari Bol. Hare Krishna. Govindam Adipurusham Tamam Bhajami. All glories to Shri Sishap Sandarbha. All glories to Shri Jiva Goswami. All glories to all the Vaishnavas. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram Hare, Jai Srila Prabhupada, Hare Bol, Hare Krishna.